I'm Michael A. Battle, president of the Interdenominational Theological Center in Atlanta, Georgia. Motivated by a vision seen 2 years ago by one of our trustees, Paula Garten, the entire community of ITC, trustees, faculty, staff, and students, have taken on the vision of creating a new Eden. We have called it Theoecology. We welcome you to participate in the charrette, where we are trying to define for ourselves and indeed for the world what life would be like if we lived a life as God intended, where man and nature live in harmony one with the other. Thank you for the wealth of knowledge and experience that you bring not only to our campus, but to the continued conversation that will be repeated by alumni who serve in churches and ministries, not only throughout the U.S., but throughout the entire world.
The world is why we're coming together in this Theoecology charrette. Our objective, a new Eden, a green civilization. What would that be, and how do we get there? I'm Paula Gordon, and I also welcome you. Many people now see the potential of expanding the reach of two communities of faith, the ITC and those in the environmental movement. The generosity of one of them, who prefers to remain anonymous, makes this Theoecology charrette possible, and we are grateful. You are part of this distinguished gathering because you know that we are at a pivotal and dangerous time in the history of the earth and of humanity. Dr. Richard Leakey, one of the people who unearthed our ancient African past, sees our present and future this way.
The fact is that there are now marked instabilities in global climate. We're going to see increased periods of drought, increased periods of famine, increased periods of flooding. Sea levels will rise, and in that situation, life will be affected. It's not that it hasn't happened before. It's happened many times if you look at the geological record. It has never affected 5 billion people before. That's the crisis.
Ray Anderson, founder of Interface, is on the same page.
When the scientists look at the whole globe, they conclude that every life support system on Earth, every living system, is in decline. And you can go through the litany. I mean, it's a list of the rivers, the oceans, the wetlands, the lakes, the forests, the farmlands, the rangelands, the aquifers, the air we breathe. Every one of those life support systems is in decline. We're headed in the wrong direction. Our spaceship Earth is in serious, serious trouble, and it's getting worse, not better. Why? The stress on the system is man-made, largely speaking.
We're going through a critical bottleneck, observes the distinguished biologist Edward O. Wilson.
The aspect of the bottleneck that most concerns me is that while we're doing this, we're pushing most of the rest of life off the face of the earth. So our descendants, who are told, say, 50 years from now or 100 years from now, that what we have carelessly allowed to be to slip away won't be replaced for 10 million years, they're going to be peeved. Now, who are we to destroy the creation, if I might use that term, the product of hundreds of millions of years of evolution? But even if you're traditional, you believe in the fundamentalist view that it was put here all at once by a creator, that viewpoint leads you to the same conclusion, I believe. Who are we to destroy the creation?
Who indeed? And Dr. Jared Diamond, author of Guns, Germs, and Steel and Collapse, sees us at a fork in the road. We choose either a truly grim survival or civilization.
If we survive, we're going to survive by starving ourselves or bombing ourselves back to a hunter-gatherer lifestyle. So we have the choice. Do we want to survive as civilized society, or do we want to survive as we were 50,000 years ago? And it's up for grabs. And the answer is going to be clear sometime between 40 and 80 years from now.
Dr. Anne Fiorini, director of the Center on Asia and Globalization at the National University of Singapore, stresses,
you can imagine this very gloomy, miserable future. And if you want to be a scaremonger, it's easy to do. You can imagine the collapse of the global economy, the global environment. Al-Qaeda might be just the beginning of a whole set of those kinds of security threats. But you can also, just as realistically, imagine a much more hopeful future.
And do what is required to get to that future. That's why we're here. Two questions will focus our time together. What is a New Eden, its heart and soul and intellect, and how do we get there? Both questions will allow us to emerge with core principles for succeeding in creating and sustaining our green civilization. This way of thinking is inspired by the natural step process. It's helping organizations around the world revolutionize their environmental practices. We are honored that the creator of this process, Sweden's Dr. Carl-Henrik Robért, has agreed to be a Theo Ecology advisor. He reminds us,
go for principles for success, like when you are playing chess, and see to that each move is flexible in that direction, because then you can also reach consensus. In order to be able to understand why we have all the problems that we see around us in nature, we must be able to move upstream when problems start, and then those principles can help us to do that. The other essential element is backcasting. And backcasting means that you put your imagination in the future at a level of success. And then you ask yourself backwards in time, what shall I do today to get there? And that's how the individual brain operates anyhow, always.
We will go as far as our imaginations can take us and draw inspiration from all the experiences and traditions at the table and beyond. I often think of the late biblical scholar Dr. Robert Funk, founder of the Jesus Seminar. When I asked him what Jesus might have said to us now, Dr. Funk's thoughtful reply stayed with me. Say yes to life.
We now know a lot more about the Buddha and about Lao Tzu and other great sages, both East and West. There's also Moses, from whom we can still learn a few things, and some of the prophets. It's a wonderfully rich tradition. There are also pagan sages like Socrates that have not lost their voice in our world. We are not without moral anchors. Most of all, we have internal compasses that we need to follow too, and to rediscover our own integrity, it seems to me to be preeminent among the things I would like to encourage people.
We will resist the disease identified by Dr. Alan Wallace, who is a leading scholar in the study of consciousness and a former Tibetan Buddhist monk, and we will be mindful of Dr. Wallace's questions.
We as a culture are suffering from what I would call an imagination deficit disorder. What about extraordinary people? Not only people have extraordinary talents and skills, but people have extraordinary hearts, extraordinary minds, extraordinary states of consciousness. When shall we study these people? Better yet, when shall we become such people?
We will combine our imaginations with the self-criticism that Dr. Cornel West says is essential both to love and to democracy. Our method? Dialogue.
Democracy is very much about that kind of self-criticism, that kind of process of maturation, process of development, and process of growth, which again is ceaseless and endless. Love, democracy, over against death, dogma, mediated with a dialogue that is ceaseless.
Dr. West reminds us democracy matters. And President Jimmy Carter invites us to join him in his confidence in people.
In the past, when we've had crises, the American people show their sound judgment in the long term. But when they are misled, or when they are confused, or when the information is not available to them, then for transient periods, they can be incorrect in their final judgments. When they get the information they deserve and need in a free society, they make the right choices.
We'll hold to Dr. Johnetta Betch Cole's NOAA principle. Dr. Cole is America's sister president.
There will be no more credit for predicting the rain. It's time to build the arks.
And do as one of the founders of America's Second Harvest, Bill Bowling, suggests.
I've often given a talk entitled Moving Beyond Ain't It Awful. And we've got to have friends and colleagues and a support community to get us through the hard times and the confusing times.
In thinking about the mind and heart of a New Eden, we'll pay special attention to those Jesus called the least of these. Here's why. First, Amory Lovins, founder of the Rocky Mountain Institute and a key external advisor to Theo Ecology.
People can really get excited about the good things that are happening and that they can support and do themselves. And you know, there's nothing we know of in the world, as or in the universe, as powerful as 6 billion minds wrapping around a problem. And as as our emerging global nervous system brings more people into the conversation, particularly women and the poor who didn't have much voice before, we're starting to get a whole lot more good ideas and good practices spreading very rapidly. You know, as Giff and Leva-Pinchot put it, brains are evenly distributed, one per person.
Dr. Joseph L. Roberts sings a different verse of the same song. He succeeded Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. as the leader of Ebenezer Baptist Church. Both grappled daily with the needs of the least of these and learned from their strengths and insights.
So if your history has been dismal for 90% of the time, why your interest in it? You say, I got to create a new day.
Among our outstanding participants, I'll limit myself to two who are coping with U.S. Customs to be with us. First, philosopher and theologian Dr. Frederick Faure.
I have a worldview in which I believe that the meaning of the universe is its creation of beauty, but that ugliness and evil are always going to be with us because it's a finite universe, and always the creation of some kind of beauty is going to exclude the possibility of creating some other kind of beauty, which is relative ugliness, at least. I mean, we really require challenges if we are going to keep moving forward, as you said, if there's going to be evolutionary advancement, which may not be advancement in any particular direction, but perhaps towards enrichment of experience, which I think of as a kind of intrinsic beauty, and the spreading of the possibility of harmonious experiences among many people, which is another kind of beauty, and spreading that all the way into the natural order to recognize our obligation to the experiences of the animal world.
Dr. Stuart Kaufman is the theoretical biologist who now directs the Institute for Biocomplexity and Informatics at the University of Calgary. Dr. Kaufman's own extraordinary contributions are part of the reason he's led to believe we are on the verge of a scientific revolution.
Sometime in the next 20 years or 30 years, we're going to make physical systems that can actually build things for us. And if nothing else is true, I believe that 50 years from now, there will be an entire new technology based on autonomous agents. And finally, the fact that we can make such systems means that we can make these things and then we can watch them co-evolve with one another, as well as doing the Darwinian pre-adaptation tricks that we cannot say ahead of time, which means we will confront the construction of a general biology. And my view of that is that will lift physics and chemistry up to an entirely new level. It's not that we're going to tear biology down. It's that we're going to lift physics and chemistry up to try to embrace what co-evolving systems of autonomous agents do.
The working title for Dr. Kaufman's newest book is Beyond Reductionism, Reinventing the Sacred. As we wrestle for principles both for the idea of a new Eden and for our path to it, we all know that education in its very largest sense is key. We'll be mindful that our principles both for what and how must enable ITC's faculty to embed theoecology across our curriculum and out into the world. ITC's Provost, Dr. Edward Wimberly, leads the faculty and is joining me in shepherding this charrette. And two distinguished faculty members are active participants. Here are the kinds of concerns and interests the whole faculty is eager for us to include. Dr. Wimberly.
One of the important aspects of it is the issue of stewardship, how we are responsible for and to care for the earth that God has given us, and how we're not to destroy it or desolate it, but how we can work with it and cooperate with that. So we want to know how we can become better stewards and take that responsibility very seriously.
ITC professor Dr. Edward Smith will be with us. He specializes in process philosophy and theology.
One of my primary theological concerns is us recapturing something I think was lost, our actual relationship with nature, to realize that we must live spontaneously, cooperatively, in a harmonious relationship so that all that God created can reach its full potential.
In addition to her divinity degree, Miriam Burnett is also a physician.
Theoecology has to incorporate our relationship with health. It includes our political, our economic, our social, our educational, as well as our physical, our mental, and our spiritual health.
And years before joining the ITC as a professor of church administration, Dr. George Thompson pastored a local congregation.
The two things that I'm especially interested in is how to help our students become effective at helping congregations make that change in their mindset and see environmental issues as permeating everything that has to do with being a human and being Christian, and how to help the wider society, in particular the institutions of business, government, and industry, take these issues on before things get so drastic that everybody's scrambling around.
Two more educators, Jane Goodall and David Orr. Dr. Goodall now spends 300 days a year on the road sharing her pressing concerns about a big environmental issue, the threat of nuclear war. And with her Roots and Shoots program, Dr. Goodall is opening children to the glories of what we have and what we stand to lose.
Now we've put ourselves in a position where certainly on many levels we can change the environment to suit our own purposes. We can dominate other species. We can exterminate other species. So we have a real responsibility to use this incredibly complex language to do the sort of thing you're talking about. We need to share information, we need to teach children with positive stories, and we need to provide hope by helping people understand what they can do to make the world better.
David Orr directs the Environmental Studies program from its home in the pioneering Lewis Center at Oberlin College. The ITC knows Dr. Orr as the other key external advisor to theoecology. The world knows him for the visionary ways he's brought to life Winston Churchill's keen insight, "We shape our buildings, and then they shape us."
What we need are people who know how to live well. And you think of the characteristics we will need in this century. 6 billion people on the planet. We need people who have generous hearts, lots of vision, lots of competence, but make good citizens. And good citizens in the largest sense of that word, citizens of a biotic community, citizens of the world, citizens of a future world that's trying to be born, people who see themselves in big context. And the question then becomes, okay, how do we raise up a generation of great people so that someday people look back at this time, our time, in the 21st century, and say, hey, that was humankind's finest hour. That's when we turned this ship around. That's when we took issues that were global and problems of all sorts, and we solved them. We met them. And education played the key role in that.
You are part of Theoecology's charrette because you are one of those people who see themselves in a big context. What is at the heart and soul and mind of a new Eden, and how do we get there? We get started, and we look forward to doing so with you. Dr. Battle?
As president of the Interdenominational Theological Center, I take great pleasure in welcoming you to the ITC. We thank you for your knowledge. We thank you for what we will become as together we map out a pathway forward to the new Eden.